This podcast is brought to you by Local Silver Mint in Ware, New Hampshire. For the best selection of silver and gold, visit the Local Silver Mint showroom in tax-free New Hampshire today. Online at localsilvermint.com.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Welcome back, my friends, and a happy Monday to everyone. Thank you for starting your week off right with the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to cover today. Protesters in Iran continue to rebel against the regime that has wreaked havoc on not just Iranians, but on civilization for 47 years now. Officials have imposed an internet blackout to try to stop news from getting out about these protests. Luckily for those officials here in the U.S., there doesn't seem to be a lot of hunger to cover it anyway. With or without the blackout, the media, a little bit more quiet. I guess all protests aren't created equal. And I was thinking about this last night because, much to the chagrin of everyone who listens, and I'm going to disappoint you guys. This is just part of life. I'm going to disappoint you time and time again. Last night, I did watch the Golden Globes. I try to go cold turkey. I try not to watch.
What time were the Golden Globes on?
Same time as the Patriots.
Wow.
But Patriots, I think, start at 8:15. So yeah. I really want to watch the monologue in full. Everything else I can just kind of click back and forth on. So we did watch the full monologue. And then, you know, Will is in
all
the
right.
house.
He put
his foot down after that.
I am sending your husband, like, a beer of the month kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, yes, as you should. So we watched the opening monologue, and I watched most of the show, and I found myself pleasantly surprised at how little politics was talked about. Like, most people who got up, accepted an award, seemed rather grateful. I mean, get this. They would thank the people in the movies, Taylor, which I used to think was so boring when they'd list people. And now that I watch it, I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you made this movie, but a million other people were involved. You should be thanking people instead of talking about Trump. He didn't make the movie. What does he have to do with it? You're making everything about him all the time. Why don't you make it about the assistant director? Why don't you make it about the girl who had to get you coffee 6 times a day? Why don't you give them a shout out instead of punching up towards the president for one night? And so I was, for the most part, pleasantly surprised. There were a few moments here and there. But then I realized that a lot of these celebrities saved it for the red carpet. A lot of these celebrities, like Mark Ruffalo, who I don't believe won his category, so he didn't get a chance to get up on stage. I'm sure he would have entertained us all with his political rantings. He would have got on that soapbox real quick. But he didn't win. So instead, all we got was Mark Ruffalo on the red carpet. And this is tying back into Iran because I was watching him on the red carpet. He's got the pin for Renee Good. He's yelling about how he thinks Trump is a pedophile. A lot of pretty damaging claims there. I'm curious if there's any sort of way Trump could check in on Mark Ruffalo and maybe, I don't know, sue his ass. I'll let the legal experts weigh in on that. But I'm watching this and I'm like, this guy talks about everything. He talks about Gaza. He's big on Gaza. He talks about Renee Good. He talks about how the U.S. isn't the U.S. We're under dictatorship. All these other things. I'm like, has he said anything about Iran? Why aren't the Iranian protesters getting any attention? So I want to play this Mark Ruffalo, and we're going to kind of go through this. But listen to him on the red carpet. This is cut 8, please.
This is for her. This is for the people in the United States who are terrorized and scared today. I know I'm one of them. I love this country. And what I'm seeing here happening is not America. This is not.
Mark, why do you feel that this platform is still useful to spread a message like this?
Listen, I want to pretend like this is, I want to be here to celebrate, and I am here to celebrate, and I'm proud to have a Golden Globe nomination. But also, this is not normal anymore. And so I don't know how I could be quiet. And I'm feeling a little sick, so it's hard to BS right now.
Oh, so he's also, he's a little stuffed up. Okay, I got it. I just want to say, I think the issue that happens with celebrities, I was thinking about this over the weekend, it's such a crapshoot to make it in Hollywood. So if you do make it, you automatically assume, because you're kind of one in a million when it comes to acting, that you also must be one in a million when it comes to your opinions. And like, everyone needs to know what you think all the time, and you're the one who's going to change the world. You're not the one who's going to change the world, Mark Ruffalo. He also, in a separate clip, called Trump a pedophile. But this is what he's bringing to the red carpet. And I just came across, it was perfect timing before I came on air here, I just came across this protester who was also had the same thought as I did watching Mark Ruffalo virtue signal on the red carpet. Take a listen to this.
Mr. Mark Ruffalo, why are you talking about the ICE, that one single woman that died, that came in front of ICE? I don't understand where you guys want to take this, for Gaza and Hamas and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Neither of you have lived under the Islamic Republic tyranny that you guys are talking about, the death of one single woman that have came in front of an ICE agent, a police. And you guys are talking about, you guys have human rights. You guys have everything that you need in your life. We have been taken, our lives have been taken away from us. You guys have everything, and you guys once have one president in your country that wants the best for the people of America, that have built the land for 250 years. America has a right to have a country. America has a right to have a country as much as Iranians have a right to have a country. So let's make get the facts right here. All right? Let's not get ourselves lost in this illusion that you guys have been building for us, for people. All right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, because besides the Democrats who have come out and said they don't think Trump should intervene in Iran, they've made that very clear, like Mark Warner and these other people. They don't. They can tell you immediately what Trump shouldn't do. And it's whatever he's hinting at doing, it's the opposite of that. That's a great thing they have going for them, is it's very easy for them to decide on their ideology and their political beliefs, because all they have to do is the opposite. So you have Mark Warner, some other Trump deranged hacks, explaining why they hope Trump doesn't intervene. And listen, if you don't think Trump should do anything in Iran, that is a legitimate argument to be made there. You can tell us, you can explain to us why you don't think he should do anything, XYZ. But they don't do that. And if you prefer the Biden-Harris policy in Iran, which was don't make a serious face, look at the camera, and then fold like a lawn chair, then that can be your foreign policy strategy. But that is your only strategy. Because if you turn to a Mark Warner or a Jason Crow or any of these fake tough guys, and you say, you follow up their hand-wringing about everything we shouldn't do in Iran, and you just hit them with, okay, so you've made it clear why you think Trump is mishandling this issue, what would you do? And you know what, Taylor? I think it's a legitimate question, because all of these people have political presidential ambitions. All of these people, whether it's Jason Crow or Jacob Fry or Mark Warner or Dan Goldman, they all want to be president. So if you think you could do a better job, which I know you do, then tell us what you would do in Iran. And if the answer is nothing, if the answer is let these protesters, I think the number is 500, 600, it's in the hundreds, let these protesters die, let them do an internet blackout, let them power wash the streets that are covered in blood, and let's all pretend it's not happening so we can watch a Mark Ruffalo cry on the red carpet, then that's fine if that's your strategy. But then don't turn around. If you're these far-left, ICE-hating, Maduro-loving empty suits, whether it's Jacob Fry or Jasmine Crockett, that are all auditioning for president, that's fine. But then don't turn around and try to paint MAGA as a bunch of uncaring, isolationist cult members who are denying people democracy. Because it seems as though the democracy deniers right now are the grannies who are ironically holding up no king signs. Standing above the highway in East Milton, holding up no king signs. Losers. Just losers. Because Trump has been outspoken about protecting our country with tight borders and strict law enforcement and vetting processes. We are told that the reason people need to come here, what is always the reason that people come here, Taylor?
To escape tyranny.
Bingo. Refugees fleeing tyranny.
To set up daycare centers.
Fleeing bad situations. Fleeing persecution and evil in their home countries. And we were told at one point by the border czarists, by Space Girl Kamala Harris, that we needed to get to the root causes of these problems. We needed to fix these countries. She couldn't fix anything that was happening here, but she was going to fix all these other countries. But when an opportunity arises to give those people a final push to take out an oppressive, tyrannical, patriarchal regime of monsters, no one even wants to give those protesters a hashtag, let alone have the president intervene. Forget intervening with missiles or strikes or anything like that. They don't even want to give the people in Iran a tweet. They're all sitting there fine with the internet blackout. They're like, I hope Elon Musk doesn't try to get Starlink up in there. I hope we can keep this quiet for a while. And it seems like the only dictators that celebrities like Judd Apatow are concerned with are the ones that they make up in their minds. Can I have the Judd Apatow? This is him last night at the Golden Globes. Cut 12.
You know, that's water under the bridge. A lot has happened since then. That was 10 years ago. You know, since then we've had COVID. I believe we're a dictatorship now. And but I'm still pretty focused on this Martian thing. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah. Real authoritarians, whether it be Maduro or austere religious scholars, they get the silent treatment from rich, beautiful people like Judd Apatow. They've directed all of their anger at the ICE agent who didn't lie down and die fast enough for their liking. Now, keep in mind, if that agent had not defended himself against Renee Good, who by the video we saw on Friday from Alpha News that was released, she seemed like she was making eye contact. Her wife was saying, drive, baby, drive, while taunting the ICE agents and calling them, body shaming them, by the way. I think she was calling one of them fat.
Go have some lunch, big boy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too nice to me. Now, if you're going to take that video, if that agent hadn't defended himself, If he had conducted himself in a way that was deemed acceptable by, say, an Ilhan Omar or a Jacob Fry, if he had just laid down on the street and gotten run over and died, these same people would be on TV over the weekend spending their time explaining to you why he deserved to die, making excuses. And actually, a decent chunk of these Democrat degenerates would be celebrating his death, as they did with Charlie Kirk. And remember what Charlie Kirk's big crime was? Speaking to a person who disagreed with him outside a university. And if they found reasons to excuse and celebrate that murder, just know no one's getting any sympathy on the right. It doesn't matter if you follow the law, which you should, but it doesn't matter if you're an ICE agent and you try to calm down the situation. Anything short of getting run over by an ICE watch agitator, you're not getting any sympathy from them. You're not getting any sympathy no matter what. But I was watching this and I'm thinking, all these celebrities, they're so brave, they've got their pins on, and they don't have diddly squat to say about Iran. And from my knowledge on it, and I'm not saying I'm an expert on Iran or anything, but it does seem as though these people who are trying to take down this tyrannical regime of mullahs, it does seem like they're risking a lot, like the stakes are pretty high. It doesn't seem like the Islamic regime is messing around. It seems pretty courageous to me, but not courageous enough to get any attention from Hollywood or from the media, from these panelists on CNN. No attention is to be given to actual freedom-fighting protesters. So there you have it. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more, because Ilhan Omar has another issue with this ICE agent. She doesn't think, she's blaming him. He should know enough by now to not get in front of a moving car. That's her, that's Ilhan Omar, and what she's adding to the situation. We are going to focus on the fraud here, because I think a lot of people are hoping that all of this other chaos is going to distract from the fraud. Not so fast. Not here at the Grace Curley Show. It's so easy to put things off, especially after the holidays. You can get into, some people turn the new leaf and other people get into a little bit of a rut. You get into a little bit of a slump. The holidays, you feel a little tired and it kind of drags on. Well, I have the perfect way to get yourself back on track. That is to take care of your smile. If you have a great smile, it's going to change every other part of your life. And it's not that hard to get the perfect smile. You just have to make an appointment with Perfect Smiles. You have to call 603-595-6699. Take the first step. I always say, that's your job, is to call and make an appointment. Their job is everything else. They're going to listen to you. They're going to figure out exactly what you need, whether it's teeth cleaning, whether it's veneers, whether it's what I did with Dr. Tam, which was Invisalign, which has been amazing for me. I've absolutely loved it. Wherever you are in the journey, they are going to help you, and they're going to deliver the smile that you've always dreamed about. Maybe you don't think it's possible. Maybe you've put it out of your head. Well, put it back in your head, because it is possible. So call 603-595-6699 or visit perfectsmiles.com. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is the Grace Curley Show. I run
so far away. Hello, everyone. Ooh, I like this.
I ran so far away.
Oh, I didn't know what you were trying to do. I wonder if people out there catch on to these faster than I do. Probably. Hey, I'd bet on it. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. We've got a great guest, John Featherston from The Maine Wire, joining us to talk about a video out of Lewiston that has gone viral thanks to Elon Musk. You get a retweet or a repost or whatever they call it nowadays from Elon Musk, you're golden. The world is going to see whatever you're posting. So John Featherston is going to give us that rundown. I admitted that I was watching the Globes last night, and Nikki Glaser's the host, right? And she did okay. Like, she did fine. I thought she was decent. I've seen better. I've seen worse. Better being Ricky Gervais. Worse being, like, everyone. It's not a hard job, I think, to do a decent job at, because there's been so many bad hosts. But I wanted to play this cut for you, because this is the one that everyone's acting like she was pushing the envelope. They're all like, I read a headline today. Guaranteed it was BuzzFeed. But it's like, I can't believe she made these jokes. This was wild. This is cut nine.
I cannot believe the amount of star power we have in this room tonight. It's insane. There are so many A-listers. And by A-listers, I do mean people who are on A-list that has been heavily redacted. But yes. And the Golden Globe for best editing goes to the Justice Department. Yes, congratulations. And the award for most editing goes to CBS News. Yes, CBS News, America's newest place to see BS News.
Not for nothing, but that's a Rush Limbaugh joke. I mean, that's a joke that most conservatives have made for the last 30 years. And she's making it now because Barry Weiss, I get it. Now it's Barry Weiss has taken over CBS, so they're all mad at CBS. But none of that to me was groundbreaking stuff. I wasn't sitting there going, wow, she's really tempting fate here, saying all of this in front of Hollywood. Because it was more at the expense of the White House than it was at these A-list celebrities. That's how I read it, at least. I didn't think it was all that impressive.
Well, nobody in that room had ever listened to Rush before, so all of these jokes were fresh.
Yeah, they were fresh. And I'm always watching these things. Once you get Ricky Gervais, though, it's hard after that. It's hard to shock me. I didn't find any of this to be all that crazy. Today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, will Trump intervene in Iran?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Iran.
Yes, he will.
What do you say, Iran or Iran?
I say Iran.
Iran?
I probably say both.
Okay. 76% say yes, he will intervene.
Yeah, I think he will. He talked about it. He's been talking about it for weeks. When Bibi Netanyahu was at Mar-a-Lago, he made a point of saying to the press afterwards, we'll knock the hell out of them. I might have some of these confused, but it was along those lines. And when he was on Air Force One this weekend, he said something similar. And he said, you know, they want to talk, but there might not be enough time. It's reminding me a lot of Midnight Hammer, where if he sets a deadline, oftentimes, and I hope I'm not giving anything away, I don't think I am, but oftentimes if he starts to give you a timeline, it means your time is up. It means it's already too late for you. When we come back, we are going to talk to John Featherston about this incredible story out of Lewiston, a viral video of a Lewiston Somalian warning Democrats that they will not, the community will not vote for them if they keep talking about fraud. I don't think this fraud conversation's going away, but Democrats are certainly hoping it will. We'll talk about that when we come back and so much more. Stick with us. It's Monday, and it's The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I got to play this cut from Representative Ilhan Omar, and it's worth mentioning, and people on social media were pointing it out. It's especially rich when Margaret Brennan, who spends most of her time being confused when she's interviewing Marco Rubio, who's running circles around her, she's got a lot of questions for people. She's got a lot of follow-up when it comes to J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or any of the members of the Trump administration. Not so much follow-up. I just sounded like Jiminy Glick. Where's her follow-up for Ilhan Omar? Can I get Ilhan Omar giving her nuanced take on the Minnesota situation? This is cut one, please.
Do you see, from the recordings that we see, is there anything that you believe was being done that should not have been done by Macklin Good? The administration says she was blocking the road. They are claiming this is an act of terrorism.
Yeah, Renee Nicole Good, as you hear her say, she's not mad. She's sitting in her car, peacefully waving cars to get by. This agent, as you see, gets out of his car, automatically starts running towards her, trying to open her door. She feels scared. She tries to turn the wheel away. And then you see the other officer, who can clearly see the car is moving, move towards the front of the car, which, if they are saying that he has 10 years on service and is trained, he should know that you shouldn't be trying to get in front of a moving car.
Now, I don't know. You know, there's been so many different angles of this, and there's been so many different videos. Obviously, we talked a lot on Friday about the video released from Alpha News, which was the cell phone footage taken by that ICE agent who was bumped, who got hip-checked by a refrigerator, according to Jacob Fry. But I don't know what video Ilhan Omar is watching, that this is her takeaway. And it's really a scary thing. I was talking today with Matt Gagnon from WGAN, as I do every Monday morning, and we were discussing this, and I said it's a crazy thing how people can watch the same video and come away with such different viewpoints. Because if you watch her wife screaming at that ICE agent, telling her, drive, baby, drive, it's clear they've been doing this for a while. It's clear that this was part of their day. And then you see the lies and the spin from people who watch the video. Some people really believe the stuff they're saying. Some people are really like, she was directing traffic. And it doesn't help that you have elected officials like Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Senator Adam Schiff propagating this stuff and making it seem legit, as if this woman just stumbled into, and the Federalist, by the way, I should point this out, the Federalist has a great piece on the most outrageous lies, and one of them is this idea that she dropped her kid off at school and she was just driving through, that she just happened upon this ICE operation.
Well, Schiff, yeah, just she was just pulled over.
Take a listen to Adam Schiff. This is a man who's made his bones lying through his teeth. And the funny thing about this, I shouldn't say funny because this whole situation's awful, but the thing about Adam Schiff that stands out to me is, remember during Russiagate, Adam Schiff is someone who really loves when people don't have information, because then he can look at you dead in the eye and say, I've seen it. I know. He's a Russian agent. I can't tell you how I know. We all have friends like that, too. You know, someone tells you something, they're like, I can't tell you who said this about you, but someone thinks you're a jerk. Someone, Jerry, thinks you're a phony, but I can't tell you who. And it's like, well, just no. You don't get to do that. You don't get to go behind the scenes, pretend someone gave you information that Trump's a puppet of Putin, and then turn around when the information never sees the light of day and say, well, I couldn't reveal it. It was top secret stuff. So this case with Renee Good is really tricky because we have all the footage. And Adam Schiff doesn't like that. He likes you to be in the dark so he can tell you what to think. But because people have seen the footage of this woman and her wife screaming at ICE agents, driving this car around, she looked very happy. And that kind of, even right then with Ilhan Omar, and it speaks to the sloppiness of these lies, we were told she was panicked, right? And that's why she gunned the car, whether it was toward the ICE agent or veering away from him. I don't know. As J.D. Vance said, I don't know what's in this woman's heart. I don't know what her intent is. But one of the things I was told at the beginning of this lie, at the beginning of this narrative, was that she was in a panic. And now Ilhan Omar saying, well, she was very happy. She was talking to the ICE agent. She wasn't mad. She was waving people forward. So right there, I go, which one was it? Was she panicked and she's trying to get away? Or she's happy and she's not a threat to anyone, yet she's gunning her car towards him? That's number one. But then at the same time, we have Adam Schiff saying stuff like this. Can I get cut three, please?
Well, I was struck by a few things. First of all, it's horrifying to watch. And to think about this 37-year-old woman drops her kid off at school, not involved in protest activity or anything, seems to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But at one point, she's waving other cars to come on past, trying to make sure that she's not in the way, although she's been pulled over. And then you see her trying to turn away from these officers, and the shots fired into the car. The wheels of the car pointed not towards the agent, but away from the agent. That's what leaps out to me from the video.
You know, whenever we cover stories that are involving police officers and pulling people over, and when situations escalate like this, we're always told that depending on your race, you get a certain level of, you know, grace, or that officers discriminate. And if you're one race, or if you're a man, or if you're a young man versus an old man, they're going to treat you differently. But I think it goes across the board here. If you're ramming a car at someone, if you're driving away when an officer tells you to get out of the vehicle, you're putting yourself in a needlessly dangerous situation, and you're putting that officer in a dangerous situation. I don't know when that changed. Now we're pretending that that doesn't exist, that we don't all know when an officer tells you to get out of the car, that you get out of the car. That seems like pretty basic information, and I'm sad this happened to this woman. I'm sad that she was vulnerable, and these groups of protesters who clearly have nothing else to do except for agitate these ICE officers, that they grouped her in, and now her children don't have a mother. That makes me very sad. But it does not excuse breaking the law and endangering law enforcement when they're trying to enforce the law and they're trying to mitigate a situation. We are joined by John Featherston. Took us a minute here, so I'm going to keep it quick. John, I'm going to play this sound from Lewiston. We'll get your reaction. You can break this down for us. This is the video that Elon Musk retweeted over the weekend. This is cut 13.
Ms. Mohammed, I'm speaking today on behalf of the Somali community in Lewiston. Some of you sitting here today, we voted for you. We elected you to protect our community interests, not creating division or go after one elected member from our community. If this narrative continues, our community will be forced to re-examine our relationship or political relationship, including our relationship with the Democratic Party and who will be voting in the future. This is not a threat.
John Featherston from the Maine Wire. Break down what this was all about. I know there's an appointment process governed by the city charter, but what brought this on, and what have the reactions been across Maine and also nationally since Elon Musk has retweeted this video?
Well, good afternoon, Grace. Thanks for having me. If you've been following the Iman Osman situation in Lewiston, it'll make you sick to your stomach. A man who is indicted on federal gun charges refuses to tell people where he lives, which then called into question the validity of his paperwork for being even elected to the city council. So he is sworn in last Monday night to the city council. And just prior to the city council meeting, I literally went up to him and said, "You're not really going to do this, are you?" And I was pushed and assaulted by a community of activists in a mask. And so Osman gets sworn in. And less than 24 hours later, he's in court for federal gun charges. And 24 hours after that, he sends in his resignation, basically confirming, like, you really shouldn't do this, Osman. And he steps down from the city council. So the city council holds an emergency meeting last Thursday night to talk about how they're going to handle the new appointment process. Well, this gentleman comes and basically scolds the city council. You guys aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're picking on the Somali community, and if you keep on picking on the Somali community, we're not going to no longer support you and vote for you. You can't make it up. You can't make it up.
Yeah, and he's threatening the support. Do you think that's working? Do you think that there are politicians in Lewiston? And really, do you think this is working across the country where people are afraid of that backlash, I guess is the word I would use to describe it, and so they're operating differently than they might otherwise?
100%, unfortunately, Grace. Police officers have told me, John, be careful in Lewiston because you're up... You're shaking the beehive, you know, because not only am I chasing this story about Iman Osman and how he took even Lewiston shooting fund money, you know, we haven't even talked about that. I'm also still following up on that little girl who went missing for 6 hours in Lewiston that ended up at a Somali-run business as well, too. And people don't like the fact that we're looking. And you can just tell by me in the chamber. And as you know, Grace, I was a longtime Massachusetts elected official. The city council is petrified of the backlash that they're going to receive from the Somali community on how they handled this. And the fact that they had a very valid candidate, Rin Sewell, who was the former city councilor. She was the incumbent. She lost to Osman by just 35 votes, and she was asking to be reappointed because she ran legitimately. She did everything that she was supposed to do and was only not reelected by 35 votes. She is offered to, you know, be appointed to the council, and the council was doing everything in their power, including ignoring the charter, even though their city attorney told them not to ignore the charter, to not even sit Rin Sewell as the logical candidate to be appointed in Osman's absence. They're petrified of how the community is going to react on it.
Why do you think, I mean, there's so many stories right now. Minnesota fraud has obviously taken over Nick Shirley, the MAGA YouTuber, as they describe him. So there's a lot out there. Why do you think this video of this man warning Democrats, hey, if you guys keep this up, if you keep digging, we're not going to vote for you. Why did that capture the attention of Elon Musk, and why would he repost it to all of his followers?
I mean, I think Elon Musk had the exact same impression that I was in the room that night that gentleman Muhammad made the statements, and I actually went up to him after in the hallway afterwards and said, hey, can I ask you about the statement? He goes, no, get away from me, you're a racist. I go, defend that statement. Like, you don't even know me. Why are you assuming I'm a racist? You're a white reporter. Okay, well, I'm not a racist. But so then the following day when Osman is in court, he's actually in court as well. So I'm taking pictures, and he comes up to me and says, you can't take my pictures. I'm like, but I can. I'm a member of the media. I can take a picture. So much that even the court officer came over and says, is there a problem here? And he says, he can't take my pictures. And even the court officer said, yeah, he can. He can take your picture. So it's just a level of intimidation. We were doing a live broadcast of Main Wire TV, and two guys came by and were, you know, kind of getting mouthy with me and made even handgun gestures towards me to let me know that, hey, you know, we know who you are and we know what you're up to. So there is that level of intimidation that's going on right now. And my words, the city council in Lewiston are not very, you know, strong-minded people. And I think they're afraid of what's going to happen. You know, the mayor is, you know, petrified of what's going to happen and doesn't want to speak up on it. And that void of leadership, I think, is what Elon Musk is trying to tell people, hey, you got to pay attention to this because, you know, as Elon says, this guy doesn't seem to know that crime is a crime, you know, and if your leaders aren't going to hold people accountable when crimes are being committed, then why are they in leadership positions?
Now, John, I have to wrap up here soon, but you mentioned how much time you've spent in Massachusetts and your work here. What makes Maine so unique for this kind of chaos? And you've done a lot of reporting on the Somali community in Maine, but also the fraud there with Gateway Services. What is it about Maine that's kind of making it ripe for these kind of stories?
You know, it's very easy to say, and it's very factual to say, that it all starts at the top. A fish rots from the head down, and Janet Mills has allowed in the last 8 years for Maine to be one of the best states in the country to live in, to her lack of leadership, her bullying tactics, her woke agenda has allowed Maine to just rapidly decline. And you can see that there's no participation between, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate and the governor. The governor, you know, she hasn't spoken up about the Lewiston shooting money scandal going on. She hasn't spoken up on the Gateway Community scandal. There's a void of leadership in Maine right now, and it all comes back to Janet Mills. And the hypocrisy of it all, she wants to be a United States senator so she can go and tell Donald Trump that he does a bad job.
I was just going to say,
need to wake up.
The only thing she seems to comment on is anything to do with Donald Trump. She gets real tough talking about that, but when she's hiding from the Maine Wire, not so much. John Featherston, everyone follow him on Twitter at LocalPoliticsIs and check out his reporting at themainewire.com. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you very soon. I'm sure stories are breaking out of Maine every single day. We're starting the new year off strong in my house, and what I mean by that is we're eating good. We're eating good in the neighborhood. That's the best way to start the new year, Taylor. Nothing like delicious, premium, prepackaged protein delivered to your door from Omaha Steaks. We eat like kings in my house. I know they say no kings. They say no kings, but in my house, they're a kings.
And they all get steak.
They all get steak. And
had some steak last week. It just a few minutes on the grill. So rare when it came off. And I brought it inside because the kids had to eat it too. My wife said, I can't serve this to them. I said, oh, it'll be fine. It builds muscle. It'll be good. She cooked it a little bit more. Ruined it.
Yeah.
But I ate mine just the way I liked.
Well, I love it that way too, Taylor, because when you're dealing with such premium quality steak, that's how you can eat it. There's not all steak is created equal. I might get a steak sometimes where I go, why don't you stick that on the grill for a little bit more, but not with Omaha. Support your fresh start with high quality proteins from Omaha, whether that be steak, gourmet burgers. We're big red meat fans in this house. We like the new food pyramid flipped on its head. But if you like chicken, pork, you know, sides, desserts, they have everything for you. It's grass-fed, grain-finished beef. The marbling takes it over the top. You can tell a lot by a steak by just looking at the marbling. And Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. There's a reason they've been around this long. It's because they're the best. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com. Get an extra $35 off with promo code GRACE at checkout. You can eat like a king as well. That's Omaha Steaks, O-M-A-H-A, steaks.com. Terms apply. See site for details. And don't forget that promo code GRACE. So when you save that money and you get that delicious steak, you can think of me. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, I love a little groovy action to start off the week. Loving this bumper, baby. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are going to play that police chief who was crying at a press conference. The world has gone mad. We are going to play that when we talk to Jessica Vaughn at 105. There's a lot to discuss today. There's a lot of news out there, and we're going to tackle it all. But I wanted to actually read you guys a nice story. We've covered a lot of madness today and a lot of things that irk me and drive me crazy. But this is a beautiful story that was born from a very sad story. A figure skater, Maxim Nomov, whose parents were killed in a plane crash in Washington, D.C. last year. I'm sure you all remember it was last January. The American Airlines flight hit the military helicopter. Or I don't know if maybe the helicopter hit the plane. I don't know which one it was. And a lot of people on board, 67 to be exact, were killed. And a lot of the people on board were figure skaters, and they were all traveling together. And this young man's parents were both on that flight. And he is heading to the Olympics. And he was in tears today talking about it. It's a really, really moving story. And actually has a little bit to do with Boston, because his parents, while they were among the 67 killed, they were world champions in pairs figure skating in 1994. They skated for Russia. They later moved to the U.S. and coached at the Skating Club of Boston. A lot of people on that plane had connections to the Skating Club of Boston. And so I just thought that there's enough bad news out there that congrats to this young man, Maxim, and overcoming such tragedy, and he's headed to the Olympics. We wish him well. I hope he performs really well at the Olympics and, you know, wraps up this really tragic story. But this is a beautiful way for him to continue on and continue that legacy. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jessica Vaughn. We're going to talk about the liberal response. I've been hearing a lot about don't rush to judgment after all these people called the ICE agent a murderer. Now all of a sudden we're not rushing to judgment. It's okay to rush to judgment as long as the rushing leads to you calling the ICE law enforcement official a murderer. Otherwise, pump the brakes. We'll talk about that when we come back.